The only compromise we made for Kennedy and Malloy is their long lunches are now long dinners. Don't compromise when selling your house, though. Upside.com.au.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy on Triple M.
It's Friday, baby. Get used to it. Here we go. The last one for the week on Kennedy Malloy. And what a big show we've got for you today. Our special guest will be Jimmy Barnes, live in the studio with a new book.
That awesome.
Is Triple M royalty right there.
There is indeed other Triple M royalty, Ed Cavalli.
Ed Cavalli.
He's going to come in and join us as well.
We'll be talking about our Derby Day preparations. You are going, I am going, fire up the chopper.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
Have you heard of something called Porternity?
Porternity. Yeah. If that involves time off because your pet's injured, I'll be very, very upset.
Stand by.
Jane Kennedy. What about the smoko?
Oh,
it's being
yes.
punished. It's on the way out in Japan. We'll put that story up on Blocks. Plenty more to go. We'll have heroes and zeros and calls. Lots going on. All that and much, much more on today's Kennedy Malloy. Jane, are you tingling with excitement?
I'm totally tingling with excitement because it's Friday. It's a little bit chilly for my liking at the moment in Melbourne. I don't know what caper that's in, but...
Lucky so, you've got your bomber jacket on.
Lucky I've got my bomber jacket. Why are you looking
hello,
at me?
Hello, Dave, by the way.
Dave, sorry, we always.
12 degrees, by the way.
It's 12. Right.
That's how cool it is.
What the heck?
Thanks, Mike Larkin.
No, I'm just looking up at the temperature gauge.
And I'll just do a Lavinia Nixon. Apparently, this is the coldest start to November for two decades.
Really?
Yes. I
well,
just
can
I'd
you
say
do
that.
Me a favour and don't do a Lavinia Nixon tomorrow and turn up wearing
the same dress
as someone else at our first Derby Day together?
Yes, it's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be a load of fun. How are your preparations going? You look a bit.
What are you
something
looking
about you.
Why are you looking at me strangely?
I can't work it out, Dave. Can you
put your hands up?
No.
Other side.
Fake tan. I've just done the fake
tan.
God. On the way into work this afternoon.
Tan? On the way into work?
Yeah.
What, in the back of a cab? What have you done?
No, you know, I go to this joint where you actually go into a booth. And normally when you get a fake tan, do you know what the procedure is? You probably don't. You stand there in the nude,
right,
and someone, a chick usually, well, you'd hope it would be, sprays you with like a spray paint can and right. gets you, they've set up a tent and they
is
can come
there,
to
like
your house
an undercoat
and do
first?
Yeah. There is. Don't laugh. They
show you some, do they show you some swatches so you can choose what
yes,
shade?
They do.
Do they?
Yes. You know, there's different shades you can go. Well, I have not really wanted to have a nude up in front of anyone,
wow.
I have to say.
No, it's just a personal thing.
It is a personal
yeah,
thing.
It.
Until I found this amazing place in South Yarra where you just go into a booth yourself and you press some buttons and then you stand in the nude and then you do it and it only takes 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
Wow.
Is it looking good?
What do you do? Are you on like a rotisserie or something?
Yes, you are. You're correct.
Are there mirrors?
There's no, well, no, what they do is there's a voice and she says, put your feet on number one and number four. Please wait. And it goes, ksh. He says, now, put your foot on number three and number four. And then you just sort of turn like a turkey. Basting. You've got to be careful what number you press. I have pressed a little bit too... Waikiki Beach in the middle of winter. And it doesn't look so good. But
you've gone the full Waikiki.
I have. There's lots of prep to do. You've got, you know, this is the time because we've got the spring carnival coming up.
Yep.
Nails have to be done. Got to pick up your hat. Got to find your bag. It's just, you know, and
trouble.
Everyone's been thrown to disarray because the weather's going to be, you know, pretty chilly. And what's your prep been?
I just have to find my suit pants.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know.
Don't you put them together?
Well, no, I've left them somewhere.
What?
I don't know.
Your suit pants
the
gone
suit
missing.
Pants. I know. It's a bit of an issue.
That's
at the
not
moment.
Good. What about a shirt? Have you got
I'll
that?
Have a
all
shirt.
Ironed?
Yes. No.
You've got to have a buttonhole
not
thing.
Well,
I'll get one.
I'm hoping, Mother. I don't want to get cracking.
It's black and white, isn't it?
It is black and white, but I think you need to have a blue.
I've got no black suit at the moment. So.
Why not?
Well, I'm just going to wear a pinstripe.
No, that's
suit.
All right. I like a pinstripe.
I went and got some fake sunburn. That's what I did.
Like Jared from The Bachelorette.
Oh, don't bring up Jared. Oh. You're terrible.
I'm not terrible. No, I'm she worried
said,
about him.
I tipped that. He said he. I said he should have just walked straight out into the ocean. Kept walking. He said that's what he wanted to do.
He's
he
literally come out in OK Magazine today and said that.
So. Ah, well. What a loser. Hey, so listen. Now, we are taking a chopper.
I wasn't going to say that.
We'll take a chopper. It's not annoying.
No, you're fibbing.
We are. We'll take a chopper. It's a Chinook.
I'm not hanging out the side of it.
Sit on your helmets.
Yeah.
No, we're taking the chopper. And this is the first chopper I've taken to Derby Day since the incident.
Oh,
do you remember the incident when they crashed one?
Oh, that. Hang on, don't say along. That.
No one got hurt.
All right.
No, they crashed a chopper.
Oh, yes, I do.
So they crashed the chopper back at Vicky Park. Remember, they were taking off from Victoria Park. They were not Victoria Park, Holden Centre, and then going back.
Mm.
Anyway, and so I'd booked one.
Yes.
And on the way back, there's a queue for about 100 metres long waiting for choppers.
Very inconvenient.
So I go to the front and I go, what's going on, mate? I have a chopper booked for 4:30. And the guy goes, mate, wait your turn. There's been an accident and the choppers are down. And I go, well, someone better be seriously bloody injured.
I'm not enjoying this conversation at all. And seeing I've got to get on a chopper with you, do I?
I've got a very bad feeling about this. Anything could happen. So, and what's the weather?
Don't
what's
say
the weather?
That.
What is it?
I hope it's not windy. Is that going to be an issue?
I heard something about it. Was it Category 4?
I think so. Yeah.
Do you know what? I was worried that I was not going to get you to the derby tomorrow because there's some, isn't there something coming
up? Oh, Jane. Look, I am a 50-50 proposition because there's something else that's come up.
All right. Well,
which
all right.
may require all my attention. I'll fill you in.
Do not dump me.
You're a good chance to go flying solo.
Choir Boys Run to Paradise. It's Kennedy Malloy for the drive home on Triple M. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
Not a bad version.
What do you mean? By the Choir Boys?
Yeah. Classic Oz rock.
Yes. I've sung it live on stage.
Oh. Where?
Really?
At the Portsea Hotel.
Oh.
It wasn't in the rundown, you'll be surprised.
Right, okay.
And what circumstances? Yeah.
It was
that
a cover band. I can't remember who it was. They were in the back room of the Portsea pub. They were going berserk.
No,
I'm out the back.
Yeah.
Fair way into a fair session.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy comes off stage, the lead singer comes off stage, grabs me, puts me on stage and goes, come on, here we go. So I just joined in on the Run to Paradise.
That was it?
It was very successful.
Oh, really? Well,
they still talk about it.
Do they?
Even if you do say so yourself.
Yeah. Plus on stage, it's singing. Yeah. No support in this studio.
No, that's because I'm a real musician and you don't, you know.
What was your band?
Harley Strung.
Oh, where did they perform?
I have performed around town.
It's kind of apt when you think about it. Highly.
All right.
Highly strung.
So, were you the lead singer?
Good Lord.
Oh, no. It was with Dan Warner, a very well known and respected musician in this country and songwriter.
Sure, he'll be delighted you've outed him as being part of the engine room of Highly Strung.
I think Dan was really happy to sing along with me. Well, at least I thought he was at the time.
Was it a cover band? Did you do?
Yes, it was a cover band.
What was your genre? What were the big hits?
Stevie Nicks I used to do.
Really? Yeah,
bit of Leather and Lace.
Careful, mate.
I'll do it for you one day.
Laughing a bit too loud there, mate.
Sorry.
Easy
tiger. Look forward to it.
I've seen this turn. Hey, you know what you should be wearing to the
Derby,
your bomber jacket.
No, I'm not wearing the bomber jacket.
You just wear the bomber jacket.
No.
You'll win fashions on the field.
No, it will. It might at about 5:30 at night when everybody's sort of lying on the grass.
We need a signal. So if either of us gets bailed up by someone who we don't want to talk to, what's your signal?
My signal is I will scratch my nose. Right. Okay, what's yours?
If you see me subtle, if you see me punch anyone in the face...
It's time to go.
Get in there. Separate. Can you think of a...
Who are you likely to punch, though? Who's your new
list? Who's number one?
Richard Wilkins, I reckon.
That's highly likely you're going to see him.
It's a question without
What about Stefanovic?
Oh, no. Headlock.
Headlock. That's
all
right.
I'll rub his hair.
But that's a friendly headlock.
Gosh,
it's going to be hard for me to be discerned.
It's friendly before race five.
What about Andy Marr?
After race five.
Andy Marr?
Andy Marr won't be allowed back on the course. Not after his behaviour last year.
Man.
By the way, I might even be there.
Well, just don't say that. What are you going to be doing? What could you possibly be doing instead?
There is not a lot I would bump you for, Kennedy.
But what?
But 96 hours straight Tigerthon on Fox Footy Channel this weekend might just about have you out of a gig.
96
hours straight, non-stop Tigers. I am already out. This is my. I'm already...
Are you going to record this? You know, you'll have to. If you've got it on Foxtel IQ, you know what you have to do. You've got to clear your space, man, of all those shows. You know, no. A Place to Call Home. No. I know you love that
this
show.
This is my Game of Thrones box set. place to call home.
I know.
How dare you? Do you know what? I've been down at the supermarket buying like a Florida resident waiting on a hurricane. I have just hoarding.
Loading up.
I'm loading up.
What are your snacks?
This is official lock. I don't know, but the Lord within arms reach on the coffee table. I've done all the this. You know, you said you have bachelor, you have parties. This is mine.
Oh, that's good.
Preparation. Yeah. Batteries for remote. Check. Two sets, because that would let you down. Uber Eats app. Working.
Check.
Check. Three pairs of tracky decks. Check. Redirect emails. Check.
I'll redirect, but not be to me. I'm not answering your bloody emails.
Oh, come on. It's all hands on deck over here. Casino style lighting so you don't know whether it's day or night.
Blinds down.
That's brilliant.
Check. Beer fridge defrosted. Check. Guest list finalised. No plus ones. No plus ones.
It's going to be a bunch of chicks there.
Just a bunch of Tiger fans.
Oh
this
God.
Is going to be like the old barrel cinema. Is how that's going to. This is my religious holiday. This is my Ramadan.
You're so fired up about this and you're very excited.
36 hours in, get off the couch to ward off deep vein thrombosis. 48 hours, mum in for quick tidy up.
Oh, stop.
Through to the stop 96. It. How much fun is that going to be?
Well, I
Come
could
on,
think
Joe.
Of other things. I'm sure people who are not Richmond supporters can think of other things to do as well.
96 hours, non-stop
yeah,
Tigers.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Fox, good luck.
Enjoy yourself. Very sadly, the list of alleged sexual misconduct in Hollywood is growing. It's growing by the minute. Of course, we started with Harvey Weinstein.
Mushrooming.
Director James Toback, another one too, I've forgotten about. Actor Kevin Spacey, filmmaker Brett Ratner, who's an Aussie. This is all alleged, mind you. There's a new one, Dustin Hoffman.
Crikey.
Tootsie's been
up to no good.
Tootsie's been misbehaving, apparently. Well, more than that, allegedly. And now
How
two
many
women have come out.
So two. I think you... Yeah, it feels like you need multiple sources these days to corroborate.
Well, it does.
Before
and
you get a...
It feels like, though, everybody has now decided.
These are historical too, aren't they? These go back a long...
They really do. They really do. What has been interesting me is the way that Hollywood has been aware of this for a long time. And the more edgier comedy shows have been aware of stuff like this as well.
Right.
And
been dropping hints.
They've
so
been
to
dropping
speak.
Hints, particularly about Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
And I think it was pretty clear what the writers of Family Guy thought about this. Let's just have a listen.
Help! I've escaped from Kevin Spacey's basement! Help me!
Okay,
I think they've declared
that. They've made that clear what they think of that.
How long ago was that?
That was a...
It was a good while ago.
It's a good while ago, but they've done it numerous times. And of course...
It's an open secret.
It is an open secret.
Saying within Hollywood.
Tina Fey also in about 2004. Or something like that.
Yes.
Years ago, they had been making allegations about Harvey.
Yep.
The latest cult comedy show to come out is Difficult People. Have you seen any of this? I've seen a few shows,
show,
so you can find that on your Netflixes and all that. And they have been, in fact, this year, this is when the show's been out, they've been making references to Kevin Spacey throughout the year.
Okay.
And we've collated just a few little bits here.
Okay.
Take a listen.
What do kids hate? Jazz.
The dentist. Homework.
Kevin Spacey. And yes, many gay lives were spared in the process. I don't know how many, you know.
Well, we'd have to ask Kevin Spacey.
Let's find that bloodmobile and trick them into taking your blood. We can tell them that you're a virgin or straight.
Ooh, like Kevin Spacey. So maybe I should just give up trying to find love. You know, I'm going to go the Kevin Spacey route. Just stop trying to be a human being and just focus on getting famous. And then after I have a Netflix show, focus all of my frustrations on a boyfriend young enough to be my own son.
So they don't muck about there.
Right.
They don't muck about in there.
No subtext there that you need to
what
understand.
What actually amuses me too is about that show, Difficult People. They also have slammed Kevin for his acting. And, you know, they have these things online now. I don't know if you've seen it, where you can do masterclass. You can do one with Gordon Ramsay, the chef. You can do one with Steve Martin on comedy.
Right.
Apparently Kevin Spacey is saying, they were saying that he had a masterclass in acting. And they just sort of have a go at that southern accent when he stares down the barrel of the camera.
Okay. Well, I'll put that on my list of things to do.
Yes, that is one you can look up. But Kevin Spacey also has a rather unusual, unfortunate looking brother.
Oh. I have a picture of him in front of me. Yeah. How would you describe that?
Is he? Well, I would say this. His brother is called Randall Fowler. He's the older brother of Kevin Spacey. And he's a Rod Stewart impersonator, as you would be.
I'm glad you said that. I'm starting to question some of his choices. Wow.
He's a Rod Stewart impersonating limo driver.
He looks like, if I was Rod Stewart, I'd be suing. He looks like he's lived a fair old life.
I think he has.
Randall Fowler, and not necessarily a great one.
I don't think so either. So that's the situation there. So I think he would sing you a few Rod Stewart songs when you get in the limo. But this has been, unfolding. It's been an amazing story that they just keep coming out of the woodwork. And a very sensitive subject.
I don't think we're done
at
yet.
The moment.
It's amazing how these things get a life of their own. And after, as you said, a lot of these are so historical.
Yet yes.
The floodgates now seem to be open.
Yes.
And it seems
It seems to have emboldened, is that the word? Empowered the women of Hollywood to all sort of band together and do
out.
Something.
Everyone's weighing in.
Everyone's weighing in. So right. There you go.
Good stuff.
We're coming up soon, we've got Ed Cavalier coming in to have a chat with us as well, which I'm looking forward to.
Never quite trusted him.
He's one of my compatriots.
About
he can hear you guys. He's just
there'll
out
be
there.
Someone will lift the lid on some seedy story.
I want to find out. I want to find out how life is going with him. And
is it the beady little eyes? I'm not sure.
No, he's a new dad. He looks happy.
He's a new dad.
Yeah, I want to find out how that's going. I don't think he's changed
like a
nappy.
I'd like to know where he got that baby. I wouldn't be surprised if he snatched that off
really?
The street.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
You're a non-smoker, aren't you, Dave?
Don't smoke, no.
Well done. Did you ever smoke?
Not really, no. Not really. Occasional
wacky to backy.
Back in the day. I lived in northern New South Wales near Nimbin,
it's
part of the lifestyle.
Compulsory up that way, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Heck, you did not.
Exactly.
Nimbin?
Yeah, Lismore's where I worked, and Nimbin was in the hills, so we used to go grocery shopping on weekends and stuff, but that was a long time ago, and I'm way more sensible
Fair enough.
Now.
Kids don't smoke. No. It's a dirty habit.
Shocking.
But I still have the odd puff. And I just need to let you know, I'm a bit angry about this. This is what? News emanating out of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Non-smoking employees have been offered an extra 6 days holiday
what?
For their smoking holidays after complaining that smokers were taking too many breaks. Oh. Following a staff suggestion, marketing firm Payala has been offering its 120 staff the added days since September as a reward for not smoking. The problem was exacerbated by the fact the company is based on the 29th floor of an office block, making it a 15-minute trip to get to the smoking zone, which is out past the lobby, as you know.
Yeah.
And you've got to catch a tram
well.
To the edge of town, get a train, go to the last station, walk for 100 metres, and then have a cigarette.
I'm sure a lot of employers' ears have pricked up at this because remember the thing when people used to say, gosh, Melbourne has a lot of prostitutes? And they say, what are you talking about? Say, I see them all outside the building smoking cigarettes. Okay, no, they are smokers. Right,
so I shouldn't have been pulling up and winding down the window and propositioning those
Absolutely
women, is that what you're
not.
Saying?
No.
The smoko is enshrined. You can't legislate against the smoko, Jane.
Really? You can't?
Extra 6 days. What if you smoke menthol? Do you get is that 3 days? That is unbelievable. Yeah, enjoy your holiday, you non-smoking do-goodies.
I hope
you catch a cruise and get gastro.
But how long do you go out for a smoke, though? You'd go out there for 10, 15 minutes, wouldn't
only
you?
Only to get Jane.
As if.
I don't smoke.
I don't smoke. What are you talking about, you clown?
All adds up. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Enjoy your holidays, you non-smoke. I hope your plane crashes into the Andes.
Beg your pardon.
And you have to eat the guy you're sitting next to. Yeah, enjoy that for a lot. Okay, what about this, Jane?
What?
I don't have children.
Yeah.
I'm not ever going to file for paternity leave. Okay, so do I just get automatically 6 months off when someone punches one out down the aisle? I mean, am I entitled to that?
Well, things
You're
are changing.
You're taking time off on my dial.
Yeah, well, things are changing. What about paternity?
Okay, I'm frightened to ask. What?
Paternity.
Yeah,
that's just become a thing.
What is it? What's the thing?
UK pet insurance provider, Pet Plan. has just come up with this. They're offering time off for people to care for their furry little family members.
So if your animal's sick,
yes,
or dead, or yes, you're distressed,
you can take time off. The perk ranges from a few hours up to 3 weeks of paid time off. Here, I want to ring that bell.
That is the end of the capitalist system.
It is not.
That is the fire.
No.
Imagine going to your boss. Excuse me, boss. Give little Rexy's down in the dumps.
I'll be knocking on Fitzy's door. If something happens, God forbid.
Good luck with that.
To my he would, baby.
One word, euthanasia. He would take your dog and put it down. That man has no heart. I've seen him in action.
I know. So he's a very caring man.
To see Darth Vader.
He would be very upset for me, and he would say, Jane, take as much paid time off as you like.
Opportunity. Do you know what? I like the old system. Up in the territory, I've never seen men love dogs like the dogs that they own up there. They're treated roughly. They're stuffed in the back of utes. Yep. They run all day, but they just... I've never seen
they
a bond
them.
So strong. And I remember I was in Tennant Creek one day, and I was at the pub, and the guys came up to me and go, mate, you just be quiet around McGilla today. I go, well, McGilla was a miner at Tennant Creek. Mate, he had to put his dog down. He was attacked by a pig, and there was all this stuff. And mate, no. And
see what I mean?
Well, that was...
And that's why you can't operate,
you
can't
work.
You
didn't take a day off work.
You would need that. I know, plenty of people.
But a bit of space.
Hey, if you have had that situation where you might have lost a pet or you've had to look after one...
You're a giant sook, give us a call.
No, give us a call.
Is there a scale of pets, though, like a dog's a week, a cat's a day?
No, it's whatever you want.
Yeah, wombat.
Wombat.
That'll get you a good month.
1-333-53. Give us a call.
Unbelievable.
If you've needed to have some time off and your boss has been understanding or not understanding.
Anyone who's taken time off. And I don't know how we ended up here. We were talking.
You don't know how we
We were talking about stupid Japanese company, which is giving smokers an extra week off, a non-smokers extra week off to make up for all the smokers.
Yeah, it was a perk.
They get longer than us anyway because we die early.
Well,
and we ended up talking about paternity leave then paternity leave.
Which is leave if your animal gets sick or particularly your dog.
I'm asking, I'm just putting it out there. Who's getting paternity leave? Which boss is allowing you to do that?
Happened here before.
What do you mean?
Well, one of the afternoon DJs, Ugly Phil O'Neill, took a week off when his cat died.
Yeah, I've got to point out, he's never had a cat. I happen to know for a fact he's never had a cat.
Oh, Dave.
For a cat, is a cat worth a week?
Yeah. So
I don't reckon a cat's worth
a week.
You don't think? I'm going out on a limb here.
Do you know where that cat is? It's probably not dead. It's probably at another house where it's getting looked after.
Absolutely.
It's just gone across the road.
It was probably faking it anyway.
Typical cat.
Cats do that. They're up themselves, aren't they? Yes. Okay, we've actually got a call here. Nathan in Geelong, tell us about your mate.
Hey guys, a couple of years ago, a co-worker of mine took a week off to look after her baby turtle.
Oh wow, really?
How do you know a turtle's not well? spending all day inside its shell, or if you got the do not disturb sign up?
That's
how
a good point.
How do you know your turtle's out of sorts?
Exactly.
He's just not himself today.
That was my question exactly. The turtle wasn't eating for 2 days, and apparently the turtle wasn't moving that day.
Okay, so can I also suggest this? If your turtle's not well, what can you actually do for
it?
It's not like you can give it a tummy rub or nurse it back to health. It's a friggin' turtle.
No, that's true. But they do live for a long time, though. That's the one thing about those...
Even the little ones?
Yeah, those
they're thinking of the big
terrapins
ones.
You're thinking of. We had one of those.
Giant turtles live forever.
They do. They're old buggers.
Those old things.
thanks, Nathan. Sorted. Thanks for that.
I don't smoke. They live forever.
Hey, Glenn. Glenn, you're down at Phillip Island.
That's right.
Did you have a sad situation with your dog?
I had this Great Dane Bull Mastiff. He's a beautiful dog.
Jeez, I love a Great Dane.
He was a good dog, Arnie. Oh. As you would.
Arnie, good stuff, Arnie. And Duke, of course, is a great name for
I'm about to get teary.
He ended up dying, and I rang my boss after it happened, and... I was on my way back to work, and he said, "Oh, well, you better go to the pub."
Isn't that
good
lovely?
Good call. Oh, give him a plug. What's your work?
This is a long time ago, but it was K&K Demolitions at the time.
That was nice to hear. See, I like that.
Yeah, well, he ended up meeting me at the pub and shouting me for the rest of the night too.
Good man.
See, they're the stories I like
to learn,
hear.
Fitzy. That's how it's done. Hey, out of interest, what did your Great Dane put away in the food department on the next week?
Heaps, mate.
What do you eat? What would you do?
Well, mate, anything he could get his hands on, actually. But my boss actually used to drive, he used to get these roast chickens from some joint that he was doing.
Roast chicken?
Oh, chicken, pork, you name it.
Wow.
They were just all demo things. And he'd drive past and throw one out the window of the car as he was driving past the job. And the job would woof it down in no time.
I used to do that. It was a treat for me and Barty Boy.
A
Suva for Dad.
And a
meat suver. Everybody, that was a good night out.
That is a good night out.
You it when you're coming through the door of the suver.
Hey, thanks, Glenn. Have you got another dog now?
Not at the moment. And actually, me Clayton's dog, which was my next door neighbour's dog, I called him me Clayton's dog because he was
a dog
I didn't have to feed, but I just had. He just died recently as well.
Oh,
so that's even.
Sorry to hear it, mate.
Oh,
go and get yourself a dog.
Right.
You'll be right.
Go to the
pony.
Right.
I've got a bourbon to fix that up.
Good on you.
We've got an interesting call on the line now. Dr. Emma is on the line, and I believe this is your department. Am I right?
Yes, it is, Mick. It's and thanks for the show. It's going really well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Emma.
You're a vet, obviously.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm a vet. So I've been a vet for 25 years.
Yep.
And these days I specialise in end-of-life care. So I do, most days see me doing lots of euthanasias in home, but mainly dogs and cats.
That's a tough job.
Oh,
that
Emma.
Would be a tough job. Hey, what's the toughest, dealing with the animal itself or the owners who are obviously in some distress?
Yeah. Look, it's always challenging, but luckily I've sort of got it all sorted out and I love now what I do. And it involves helping people to make the decision. So they might need a lot of time off and a lot of time to make the decision to euthanize. But the people, Mick, the animals are terrific and they obviously don't talk to you, and most times it's really lovely that you're relieving them of pain.
Yes, pain.
So that's okay. There is a study that says 30 to 40% of pet owners feel the grief more acutely than they did with their own human members of the family.
Wow.
I totally understand Emma. And so do you understand then now that we've got this pet insurance where people are wanting to take time off and bosses should be perhaps a little more understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. And Melbourne is really, really progressive. I mean, Melbourne is a fantastic dog capital of Australia, but in Melbourne, most of my clients informally with their employers do get time off. So it's not, nothing's in, law or anything like that. It's on an individual basis.
Can I ask, Doc, are there times when you have to talk owners into doing the right thing? Do you have to say, listen, I think it's in the dog's, cat's, pet's best interest here that we do this? Because I imagine some people would have a difficult time letting go.
Yeah. And it's sort of not kind of talking them into it or making them do it, but helping them to understand what's going on and how the animal's suffering. And usually if you spend time and you sort of talk about it like that, most people go, okay, I see now. And yeah, let's go ahead and do this and put them to sleep.
Well, aren't we lucky to have lovely vets like you who do that? That's probably the least appealing aspect.
And it's more humane than dumping, isn't it, Doctor? really is.
Thanks for that, Mick. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your time. That was
good on you, Doc. Yeah.
On you. Keep up the good work.
Good on you.
There should be a march for you one day because I can't imagine there's many great days at the office apart from the knowledge that you're doing a very good job.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for having me on.
Been joined by a bro in the house.
He's my bro too, you know.
Well, all right, let's not start an
undignified
squabble.
Don't hog him.
Over the great Ed Cavalier.
Yes.
How are you, Ed?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good to see you. Good fun to get out of the house.
Oh, look, it's great to be here. Look, I do have to be quick. I've got a sick turtle at home.
I was just saying it's fun bringing someone on after you've had a vet talking about euthanizing animals. Yeah. Anyway, here's Ed.
Anyway, thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
How's things at home?
Oh, mate.
How's things at home? You have a newborn boy, Arnold, who is how many weeks now?
He's really new, fresh, isn't he?
Yeah, today. Born today. So I better get back to the hospital.
How many weeks is he?
He's 7 weeks,
Janie.
He's 7 weeks old. And to be look, I said to my wife, Tiff, my lovely wife, Tiff, look,
I've
got to go in and see Mick and Jane.
Oh, yeah. Was she all right about that?
She wasn't at first because I had to have him for an hour today, an hour and a half. She went out and I had to look after him. I have one instruction. When I get home, that baby needs to be asleep.
Mm-hmm. Right? All went well?
No. She walked in in the door. He was wide awake. And I said, look, there's mummy. And he did a projectile vomit all over the kitchen.
Oh,
and I handed it. I handed it.
She literally threw him across the room into her lap and bolted out.
And I said, look, I'd love to stay, but I got to do radio with Mickey and Jane. I believe it's a 5-hour show. I'm doing the whole thing. It goes till midnight.
Fantastic.
But it is great to be here. Now, listen, I understand it's Friday and you guys do Hero of the Week.
We do have a Hero of the Week. And thanks for reminding us. We'll have to get on to that. There is one coming down the pike.
Can you suggest a hero?
I thought I might. Yeah. I know that you guys love the Rugby League World Cup.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
I mean, Jane, who is your favourite?
Well, Australia.
No, that was too easy. Okay. What about
the Irish, but the Irish? I prefer them on the field rather than knocking on my door. The Italians are a good bunch. They're a good bunch.
Big trouble in the Italian rugby league team this week. The dust is just settling on this. And I know that you guys may not have been across it because it happened in Sydney. But during the week, the Italian rugby league team, they had a loss, unfortunately. Mm. I know, Janie, you had a packet on them, so I'm sorry about that. Lost a few lira on that one. And at the pub later on, Mickey, the rugby league team at the pub, there's a turn up for the books. James Tedesco.
Yes, I do.
I saw that picture. I thought it was half time.
Right.
It's after the game.
This is after the game.
Yeah.
James Tedesco's at the bar and he's there. He's talking to a young lady. What he doesn't know is that the young lady is the girlfriend of his Italian teammate. Ready for this Italian name, everybody?
Oh, let me hear it.
Shannon Wakeman.
Oh, what?
Do you think the Italians are scratching around?
Shannon Wakeman.
How about this, Mick? How Italian is this? It's Shannon Wakeman from Datto.
In the Italian rugby league team visiting in Sydney.
He's come over.
Munich, Rome, Dapto.
Dapto, all the greats. Wakeman's come over and planted one on Tedesco.
Stop.
Oh, wow.
He punched him.
He's punched him.
Just for talking to her.
Well, apparently there's a misunderstanding. And of course, it was a one-punch attack, but with the Italian rugby league team, he threw one punch and then the bloke lay on the ground rolling around, pretending he was hurt. And I said, right.
Get up.
Yellow card him. Get up. Sook. Apparently now, though, they have decided it's all good. They're all okay. But the Italian media is shocked, Jane Kennedy.
Why?
They didn't know they had a rugby league team. they were as shocked as anyone.
They should celebrate like everyone does in rugby league after a good win with a bit of bubbling. Right.
I hate to say I know what that means.
Urinating in your own mouth.
That's enough.
After a hard-fought victory.
You're not fit to wear the shirt.
What happened to the chick?
Poor old Tedesco woke up the next morning with the mascot's head in his bed. So he's having a tough time. Now, God, can I give you the description of the young lady? This is her occupation.
This is Shannon Wakeman's girlfriend.
She's described as a personal trainer and aspiring singer. What did we used to call that in the old days, Mickey?
A Minogue.
Or Zoo Weekly cover girl. That's what we used to call that.
Don't bring up Zoo magazine. You know I'm
I know.
Oh, I know. Since it folded, I know he's never been the same.
My collection's almost vintage now.
He's never
been the same. So can I nominate? I'd love to nominate the Italian Rugby League team for Hero of the Week.
Let's write that down now. I'm writing it in.
Guys, I know they've got to get to the news at some point. But I feel I'm a little bit gypped.
Why?
I was told that I had to bring in... No, hang on. Dange, this was an email chain. That I was told that I had to bring in a song.
Yeah,
that
we let all our guests request a song. This is Dangerous' fault because he's supposed to keep us on time.
No. Well, Dange...
You're running a very loose ship here today.
You got in your poor eternity chat and we had our euthanasia doctor on and trying to wind you
this
up.
This is like the Italian rugby league team. This is... Trouble in paradise.
In a minute.
Okay. But I did my homework.
Well,
do you want to hear it anyway?
I don't think we've got time to give you a song.
It's only short.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's only
short. All right, fine.
Okay. Because you got Barnsley coming up, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Barnsley's going to be
coming in here live.
He gets the song.
Does Barnsley get a song?
No, he doesn't. I'm actually choosing the Barnsley song on here between the two breaks.
Yeah. Mickey Malloy.
So okay. What'd you bring in?
I brought in Barnsley's new single. Now, this is the one.
I don't know. Has he got a new single out?
He does. Another Cavalier exclusive.
Really?
This is something. Yeah.
What is it?
This is true. This went out.
Cavalier, that's Italian.
Yeah, it's Italian. It's Italian.
You could have been involved in that.
Well, you know how you qualify for the Italian rugby league team?
How?
You've eaten a pizza. You can spell Domia.
You're in. You're like a spicy meatball.
You're in. So.
Tell me about Barnsley's new song.
Yeah. It debuted on the project the other day.
And oh, yes.
I haven't seen this.
Okay. Now, Barnsley's sitting in the chair, right? And they're doing their thing, you know, whatever it is. And Waleed's pulled out the guitar.
Oh, he's a fabulous guitarist, Waleed, isn't he?
He's as good a guitarist as Mike Moore was, I think. And he's whipped out the axe, right?
Man, I missed that.
He's done so well. I think he's joined in excess. He did so well. I think they're looking. And he's banged out Nally and Brulia's Torn. Did you know this?
Right.
That's a hard song to sing.
Not in front of her, I hope.
And have a go at this. This is Waleed on guitar.
Yeah.
Jimmy Barnes lead vocals. Mm. And see if you can pick who's just been asked to come into the studio to bang up to help Barnsley out with a few backups.
Okay.
I'm all out of faith. This is half your machine. On the floor. Illusions never change, never change. Something real. We can see the.
Take it, Wally.
Yeah!
Hang on.
I'm going to have a guess. Is it Meatloaf?
That's not you, Mr. Cavalier.
That's available on iTunes. Signed up to Carols by Candlelight. Thank you.
Great stuff. Great to have you in. And by the way, good to catch up with you and have you been paying attention.
Yes.
How was Jane? It's never quite as good.
Oh, let's not talk about it.
Tommy's not there, but I thought she did a good job.
To be fair, we humoured her, Mickey. But
I found out I've got anger issues, apparently.
You've got anger issues. Yes. And can I say, your treatment of the Bachelorette and Stu, it's one of the all-time classics, you lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Stu and Soph will be back.
I don't think they'll be back
together.
Either.
Together.
Or together.
No, exactly.
Good on you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed Cavalier.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Right now, Jane Kennedy,
you have
a big real estate news.
I do have big real estate news.
Is this our real estate section?
Yes. Can I take you across the oceans?
Sure.
Take you far away to Egypt, actually.
Are you taking me back in time?
I am taking you back to almighty ice and that era. Remember that?
Crikey.
The Great Pyramid of Giza is hiding a secret chamber they've discovered, and it's as big as a flipping plane.
You don't get much bang for your buck in a pyramid, do you?
No.
Because it's a massive pyramid. Yeah, there's only about three rooms in it.
That's
and you've
right.
got to go right in.
Okay, so do you know how they found out? Because it's pretty solid, right? So you can't open it up.
Just so we're clear, whose tomb was this?
This is the Great Pyramid of Giza. No, I don't know if it's. I don't think it's Tutankhamun. No. It's Khufu.
Khufu. He was an idiot.
Pharaoh Khufu.
He was a crap fairy.
Was he?
No, he was an idiot. And he's showing off with the big house. He's bought the worst pyramid on the best. So here he is. I'm having a look at the floor plan.
Yes.
And I've seen it. It's been open for inspection. I've been through it. Hughesy's been through it. But now, what happens after all this time? How do you discover?
I'll tell you if you listen.
Oh.
Scientists made the discovery using cosmic ray imaging. That involves recording the behaviour of subatomic particles. This is all physics, Mick. You'll be all over this.
It's fancy.
It's called muons.
I knew that.
And they're produced when cosmic rays smash into the Earth's atmosphere. Using this technology and this great intelligence, they've been able to work out that there is a hidden chamber.
Crikey.
And it's massive. And I'm just thinking, what the hell?
What is it?
What are you using it for? And all I could think of is it might be the man cave of 2550 BC.
The original man cave.
Absolutely.
Wow.
They might keep some of their contacts for their harem or something.
Maybe it's the pool room.
Everybody
kept all his favourite stuff. I'll tell you what, that's going straight into the secret chamber.
Exactly.
Because that would make sense, because that's what you're doing. You're storing stuff you want to take into the afterlife. So he's probably got in there a jukebox, a billiard table.
His favourite camel.
Some pictures of nude chicks doing that sideways Egyptian walking.
That's always a good
look. A camel.
Their favourite camel. People get buried with their pets. Sorry to bring that up again.
It's like the den in the Brady house.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the den?
Yeah, when Greg went groovy.
Took over the den.
Took over the den.
This is true. Now, a comedian, it may have been Danny Katz. It was someone at uni who was from the architecture school, went and did a floor plan of the Brady Bunch.
Oh, it makes
Alice.
No sense.
Oh, there's no room for Alice.
She was off the kitchen.
He has literally rolled out the big floor plan maps and goes, have a look at this. This is massive.
See that? That I can relate to, understand well. Anyway, so that's big real estate news, the Great Pyramid.
All right, well, that's great. Now, you've got other news.
I have got other news. This is fascinating, this one. In Candela, have you heard of that? It's a gorgeous little Italian town.
Candela.
It's probably Candela. Hey. It's about 80 miles from Naples.
And what are they up to?
They are saying they haven't got enough people there. They've only got about 2,700.
Right.
And they want more. So you know what they're going to do?
What?
This is fair income. They are going to pay you 2,000 euros to come live there. Oh, Dave, how good does that sound?
That sounds awesome. Right.
You mean leave?
No, I won't. But
Leave Point Cook.
I like the idea of it.
To just get up and go.
Populate the town.
So how much are they paying?
2,300 Aussie bucks. And you can bring a family of four.
This is a good idea for the people of Snowtown.
Hey, you know what? Snowtown, weren't you telling me that Snowtown gets a raw deal?
Well, it's not entirely fair.
No, it's not.
And you should stop kicking their heads in. But
when you
think about it, what happened, it was not Snowtown's fault.
No.
What happened in the suburb of Elizabeth, which I've been to. it's not surprising.
Oh.
That's a night out in Elizabeth. But no, they buried they put the bodies in the barrels and they moved them to Snowtown.
Oh, well, that's
not Snowtown had nothing to do with any of the.
So really, it's a bucolic, nice little town.
It is. I've seen it.
Right.
I've driven through it.
We don't know if there's buried bodies in. Hang on. This is making a bit of sense. Maybe.
I reckon something.
Hang on. It's near Naples. The Candela's mayor.
I won't hear this.
Nicola Gatta. Hang on.
Oh, the gutters.
Yeah, the gutters.
The gutter father.
There's got to be a town, though. What town that you would be prepared to like? See, I would for
$2,000. Yeah. What's the worst town you're prepared to move to at those prices,
I'd go to Madagascar right now. It's got the bubonic plague, hasn't it? Or something like that.
True. Yeah. Well, you know what they're doing in Madagascar.
What?
This is true. I'm making this up. They are, and they reckon they've identified why the plague has rebroken out on the island of Madagascar. Mm. The locals have been digging up their dead relatives and dancing with them.
Really?
Which
is that some Ooga Booga thing?
Well, it is. It'll be something. It's a witchcrafty. Religious thing. It has a name, but they've asked them to stop doing it.
Please stop dancing with the dead.
And by the way, if you ever see Madagascar's Dancing with the Stars, it's harrowing viewing.
It's harrowing. Give us a call, though. Is there some place?
Dave? Yeah. I don't think we could crowbar you out of.
Where would I move for $2,000? That's a real crap place to live.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, Kyabram or somewhere in the Goulburn Valley.
Kyabram's
copped.
Well, it's no Shepparton.
You know what? If you throw in a beer fridge, I'd go to Maui. $2,000.
Hello to everyone in Maui.
Yeah.
Listening Maui, now.
Put down those tools in the meth lab and. Give us a call. Murray's tough.
Come on.
133353, the worst town to move to for $2,000.
We're taking calls by asking people, if we gave you $2,000, what's the worst suburb you're prepared to move to? On the back of the story that you've booked in.
That's right. There's a town in Italy called Candela. Mm-hmm. No one's corrected me, by the way, so that's how I'm pronouncing it. Who's going to pay people 2,000 euros or, heaps of cash to go and move there because they don't have enough population.
Okay, let's get involved. Jackie from Melbourne. Jackie, what's the worst town you're prepared to move to for $2,000?
Oh, well, there's a possibility we might be moving to Neil, halfway between Melbourne and Adelaide.
Oh,
for much more than $2,000, but yes.
You're not pleased about that?
What's Neil famous for? Oh, they made a bowling movie
club,
there.
Yes.
They did.
I think they're pretty famous for their ducks, I reckon.
The ducks? the ducks of Neil.
Yes. Yeah, the job involves ducks, but I'm not meant to say in case I...
Oh, well, too late now, Jackie. Yeah. You've done it. You've blown it. Thanks, Jackie.
I like it. John is on the line from Reservoir. John, where would we have to pay you to move?
Mate, for $2,000?
Yep.
You couldn't get me to move to Sydney.
Whoa, tough, John. What's your issues with the...
I was born and raised up there.
Where are you living right now?
I live in Reservoir in Melbourne.
Just take the $2,000 and sit tight.
Not happy in Sydney.
Sydney General, good call.
Okay,
here
we'll
go.
Take that one next.
Mark from Piercedale. Piercedale, where would you not move, Mark?
Hey, Mickey and Jane, I probably wouldn't consider going to Frankston, mate.
Frankston. How far is Pearsdale from Frankston?
It's about a five-minute drive. About a five-minute. Well, pardon me, where are you? Up the Paris end of Frankston, are you?
Well, that's Pearsdale, isn't it?
You're that a Pearsdale snob, mate.
Pearsdale. What about Coringle? Would you give that a look in?
I'll be pushing it.
Aspendale?
Nah.
Too fancy.
Too fancy.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, Frankston. I won't hear a bad word about Frankston. That's my hood.
I know.
The first time I saw Barnsley was down in Frankston, the Pier Hotel.
There you go. You're always reminiscing about the good old days, geez, aren't you?
I think that's it for the calls now.
No, I think there's
one
more.
What?
Peter? Peter from Endeavour Hills.
Oh.
What's the suburb, Peter? What's the suburb?
Point Cook.
I get stuff, Peter.
It's Dave's hood.
Where are you from?
We'll give you $2,000.
Endeavour Hills?
Even have a train station.
I think hearing on the radio station, there's something dodgy about it. Something about a...
Right. Do you know what I do know in Point Cook? They have buried some radioactive cows.
No, that's the East Werribee Employment District.
East Werribee.
Close enough. They've buried... There's a field full of buried radioactive cows out there somewhere.
Thanks
for
your suggestions,
everyone.
We'll
get you to Airbnb with Dangerous Dave out there at Point Cook.
Triple M royalty in the studio.
All rise for the great Jimmy Barnes.
Barnsley team,
how are
we?
How's it going?
Always a pleasure when you swing by the studio. And congrats. We'll get to this book, which you've just released, Working Class Man. But
yep.
the other one, we haven't spoken to you since that either. Yep. That's a very powerful read and a very brave, a bit of work from a very brave man. Congratulations on that.
People saying, oh, really brave. But it was stuff that had to come out. I had to get it out because it was killing me. You know?
A lot of people don't, mate. Good on you for getting around to it. Had a bit of spare time on your hands.
Yeah, it's good.
And just off the back of that, because from Working Class Boy, which I love, by the way, one question I have is, how have you remained to be so sweet? As in, you're a sweet guy.
I'm secretly a sort of an axe murderer.
But you know what I mean? Having met you, you know, over the years, I'm just saying there's something that you don't change as a person that way. And
but I like people, you see. I've always liked people. I get on well with people.
You've exercised a few demons along the trip. I've seen you on stage, Jimmy.
I take it all out up there. And then when I come off stage, I'm all right, you see.
The writing process from writing songs and then writing books is very different. And I believe that you literally sat down and just churned one out.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't plan it too much. I did have a couple of attempts over the years, and then when I did sit down and write and I tried to be author like,
yes,
it just didn't work at all.
No, it didn't work at all.
So they had to shake that off.
I can't see you sitting down in a dressing gown in a smoking jacket with your pipe,
leather patches with a great red setter.
A bit more Misery style, perhaps.
Yeah. No, but that didn't work at all for me. So I sat down and I just started. It was just like stream of consciousness. I just wrote and I decided I'd just write the way I speak. And I didn't edit.
So loudly.
Loudly and high-pitched and with an accent.
Have you done a talking version?
Yes,
I have.
Oh, fantastic.
You have to turn that down in the car.
That'll get me round the town a few times.
Easy. Yeah, so it was a good process. I really enjoyed it, and all I did was I didn't edit at all, and I just wrote as much as I could. But this is for the first one, and then waited till about 100,000 words, and then started looking back at it.
So having gone through, as we know, a pretty tough, hard background in life, and also played it hard as a rock and roller, I'm amazed how many things you remember and how many people you remember you've played with.
It's a curse.
Is that a Scottish thing?
It's a curse, unfortunately.
It all appears as testimony in court references somewhere.
It's just public documents. No, you know, it's a curse. It's one of those things where I go, people go, oh, do you? It's a wonder you remember. I say, unfortunately, I do.
I remember something.
Most things, you know.
I just want to say, because we know and you've documented how wild your life was.
Yes.
And you've sailed pretty close to the wind over the years, saved probably by the people closest around you.
Yeah.
But to hear you come into this studio today and tell us that tonight you're off to...
A quiet retreat.
For a little bit of dinner, a little book reading, a little fire.
In a very quiet country town.
Well, you know what?
It's making
old.
Me smile.
I must be getting old because I've done like two and a half weeks of book promo and it's nearly bloody killed me. Jane and I do now, every time we get 12 hours off, we call them micro holidays.
That's great.
Find somewhere where there's a good bed and lie down.
We'll better make sure we get you a little blankie, Jimmy. My greatest memory, I was obsessed with Countdown, and I remember the first time you guys were on.
Right.
Was that really one of the big breaks that you got?
Well, you know what? It was one of the shows where
because you weren't mad on going on it, were you?
We didn't like it, but in saying that, I used to watch it. Yeah, I'd like everybody else. I ran home at 6.
You didn't like the lip syncing?
I didn't like the idea of lip syncing.
Not playing,
and I didn't like the band didn't like the idea of playing of miming because you know it was sort of everything was so controlled,
and you were so musically, you know, a pub band.
We were wild, and we
so you handled it in a mature fashion.
Yes,
is that the way to describe what you did? What did you do?
Well, you know, we were quite calculated. We went there. The first time they talked us into doing it was for Burn K-San. And we said, okay, if I could sing live. Mm-hmm. And we thought, that's good. But then we found out they had ulterior motives. They wanted me to sing live so that I would change the lyrics. So I said, you know, we all said, no, obviously, we're not going to do that.
Yep.
And so they said, well, we don't want you on the show, which was fine, but we'd just woken up at 7 in the morning to do the show.
Wow.
So we were really pissed.
Yeah.
Off. And then... We knew we could see bands that were like half the band that we were that would get on the show a couple of times and suddenly they're filling holes everywhere.
Right.
And so we were smart enough to know that the show had a lot of impact, a lot of power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as a band, all we wanted to do was play to more people. You know, fill the rooms.
Play to packed gigs.
So we could buy more gear. So we could play better shows. So we could play more songs. You know, new songs. So we sort of compromised and we said, all right, we'll come on. And the next time they asked us on, I think it was Breakfast at Sweethearts.
Right. Yeah. And is that the first time you met Molly?
I think I'd met Molly before, you know, probably sort of lying on the floor at the Bombay Rock.
We would like to welcome the beautiful Jane Barnes to the microphones.
Hello, Jane.
Hello. Uh-oh.
Listen, everything I said about her, I take it all back.
This is not very often that Jane gets on the mic, so we appreciate you coming on
today. Can we thank you for keeping him alive?
Yes.
Thank you. I more ways.
She nearly killed me as well. Listen, sits there looking all innocent.
Well, this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Jane, because in this book, you discussed, Jimmy, was at your bypass.
I had open heart surgery.
You had open heart surgery.
Valve replacement.
I remember
You were recovering.
I had just come out of intensive care. I could hardly move, breathe, anything.
Mm. And I remember, I must have just seen you about that time, Jane, in Sydney, and you said, oh my God, the most incredible story. Terrible things happened. Can you set it up for us,
Tim? The start of the story is I'm lying in bed and the only thing I can move is my eyes because I'm in that much pain.
Yes.
And I'm lying there and it's getting dark and the door opens up and Jane and a friend come in and Jane's in an overcoat, right?
Yes.
And I'm sort of lying there. Hi, dear.
Well, I had to sneak
in. Yeah,
it was a Catholic hospital.
It was a public hospital. And she took the overcoat off and she had a red rubber nurse's outfit on underneath. And so I'm sort of going, don't.
I thought it would cheer him up.
Well, nearly killed me.
I needed some cheering up.
And it really nearly killed me. But so I'm lying there, she's coming over, and her friends, and they're hanging off me, and I go, don't touch you.
And taking photos.
Taking photos. It's one in the book.
Stand clear.
Yes.
But
Jimmy's
karma.
Code red in Jimmy's ward.
There was karma, though. So she nearly killed me. And then you can take the story.
Jane, what happened after you left the hospital?
Well, I went home, and the only living beings that were home were my dogs, and I tried to get the dress off, and it started strangling me.
I'll just be I'll augment here. Rubber dresses are made to have someone to help you get them off. So,
learned here today?
What have we learned? Don't wear the rubber dress alone.
So I was trying to take it off. It's going flap, 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 and my dogs were like scuttling to the corner, going, "Oh my God, there's an alien in here."
What's this woman doing?
But you're like your arms above your head.
Arms above my head,
completely stuck,
totally undignified, and I started crying because I thought I was going to die, and I could see the headlines.
Wow.
Singer's wife killed in bizarre strangulation.
Darnsey's still just alive.
Yeah.
And I thought,
while the cat's away, the mice will act like rats.
Oh my God. And then I thought, oh, thank God Annabelle's taken photos. It's proof I was like
was all
being
right.
a good wife.
She was trying to call the dogs over to get them a bite through the rubber.
True. I was so worried because you had told me this, but you finally did slip out. Someone arrived or someone helped you, didn't they?
No.
Oh, you
no,
just weaseled
I
your
totally
way out.
Laid down and
She pulled the blankets up with her teeth.
No, because I didn't want to be discovered like that.
Naked.
So for that reason, I have never dressed up in a rubber nurse's outfit.
Why don't you do something nice for your husband occasionally? Girls out there, if you're listening, take a leap out of the Jane Barnes.
And just, you know, but make sure he's home.
No, but I did pull it off like with this giant last
minute. One leap.
do or die effort, and it tore out chunks of my hair.
Oh, good God.
It's like a crime scene.
It was nearly.
Is this story in the book? This story is in the book.
And there's a photo.
Working
class
man.
There is proof.
For that alone, you go.
But she came back a couple of days later, sat next to me, and she's got bruises all over. And she told me the story, and that's, Your Honour, is how I got these bruises.
Well, you've got an alibi. Anyway, now, can I ask you, you've had a busy week here, a couple of weeks, and signing. You were talking about your signings. Have you got writer's cramp? Are you just about done?
I've had to ice my arm. Because you know what? I've signed.
When you turn up? You don't have, because I once went to a book signing for a cookbook that I've written, and literally there was two people there, and one was stalkery, and it was the, as you say, I think we called it the Spinal Tap.
It was Jane in the rubber dress.
Bit of rubber dress.
She does that to everybody.
I'm imagining you had a big crowd.
We had thousands of people everywhere, and it's been really great. I mean, but you know, there's wild people, and there's people who are sort of, you know, really authory, you know, like seeing me at the author. Awfully nice to see you. And then next to fans who are trying to be Jimmy.
You'll be doing that now. You'll be doing book weeks, and you'll be doing writers' weekends, and you're a fully fledged book writer.
I'm going to get a red setter and a pipe.
You
but don't stop singing, will you? Because love hearing you sing.
I just have to say, before we wrap this up, and we have to, when my first live bands ever saw was Cold Chisel down at the Pier Hotel, back in the great days when Midnight Oil and Cold Chisel and In Excess and Flowers, all these great bands were flying through. And I've never forgotten the first time I saw you there. And I never forgot the last time, because you may or may not remember this, Jimmy, but you played the very last night of the Pier Hotel.
I know that,
And the last thing you said was, "Good night, steal something." Right?
They took my gear.
They took everything.
They took your gear.
They took everything. They took steals. They ripped up carpet.
Oh, that's
fantastic. The funniest thing was seeing eight blokes taking a giant potted palm tree down the stairs.
Oh, this will look good in the kitchen.
On the way out.
There you go. See what I encourage people to
do? Did you put that in the book?
No, I didn't.
That's in the next one.
Got to write another one.
I become an accomplice then.
Working Class Man is the book. It's a ripper.
And thanks to Jane and Jimmy Barnes. Thanks. Thank you. Go and have a nice, cozy cuddle.
Can I go have a lie down?
Have a nice lie down, you kids.
In the lavender fields.
Let's go.
Maybe I can get a hot toddy.
Oh.
We are wrapping up for our second week.
We are.
So far, so good. Still on air. Nothing
going
wrong. How good was Jimmy Barnes? Oh. Wasn't he great?
It was a real treat to hear from Jane as well. Jane Barnes.
Yes,
but and they're in great form, those
They're
two.
In career best form. And I think he's in one of the best places he's been.
He's happy, he's relaxed. And
I forget Dave to go old rock hounds like yourself. It's a big occasion
Huge.
Always, isn't it?
Jimmy
Barnes comes
I pinch myself sometimes.
I do too. I still get a bit nervy when I see Barnesy. You've got a big weekend coming up, Min, because you're going to the Derby.
Well, 50-50.
Hey, you're not going to leave me in the lurch. Who am I going to have to end up going with?
I've done it before.
I'm not your girlfriend, so you're going to have to harden up in that department with me.
Okay, so but you know I have options.
I know you have options.
One is a 96-hour Tiger Marathon.
Yes, there is.
It's hard to.
Some of our listeners have got some advice for you. Yeah. They were saying, well, fair to say Mickey won't be exceeding the 46 steps in one day.
That's the day I took 46 steps in one day.
In one day. Yeah. 96 hours of Mick watching Tigers, fair to say, his Fitbit wouldn't get much of a workout. I think I can see a theme here.
Yes.
Would Mick wear an adult nappy to minimise toilet trips, says Danny Gibson?
I am writing that down.
You have to go and get a poi. They're called poys. You need to find out what it's called.
They're the old Depends, weren't they?
Yeah.
The
Oh, well, you go Depends, I go poys.
Save your legs. What was the underwear you were telling me about the other day? The snappy chappy? What is it?
Nancy Gantz. Snappy chappy. That was for men's line. And Danny Dobler says, "Hey Mick, get used to seeing the MCG. It's the only ground they've played on for 2 years."
Oh, that's
what
great.
Channel's it on? Rigged TV. Danny's not
coming
happy.
From Adelaide, is it? That one.
Sorry,
have we
Danny.
Got time, Dave?
Yeah,
before
let's do
we
it.
Go,
Kennedy Malloy's. There goes my hero. And zero.
Have you covered yourself in glory? Have you not? We'll give our hero and zero this week. Can I lead off with my zero?
Please do.
Will Anderson.
What?
No.
Will's been brilliant. We've talked him out.
Has he?
Great.
Yes,
but why don't you join the fan club?
Oh.
We had
Rosie
Walton in
I
here watching us hanging around yesterday. And we were having a chat. She goes, "How do you know Mick?" Because he starts at 7, I did.
Yes.
Because, "How's Will going?" He goes, "Oh, you know what? He came in at 6:15 the other day." I go,
August to study the whiteboard. Should
you
he bring
like
an,
that,
did he bring
you?
An apple for Ed? I mean,
you didn't like hearing that at all.
Was
you
were reflecting poorly on me.
What
I used to be in there. I was
what
on air at 7. I'd get in there at 6:30 if my cab wasn't late or if my
well,
alarm
you didn't sleep
hadn't
in.
Gone off. Or
I wonder if they're calling
him.
Do they have to wake him? I don't
bet
think
they
so.
Do.
I bet they don't.
Anyway, and, Will.
Well, that's your zero.
That's
wow.
my zero. Have you got a
You're
zero?
Not mine, by the way.
What?
No, no. Not Will is not my zero.
Well, distance yourself. Can I give you my hero? I've got two.
Okay, go ahead.
I got two. Cocaine Cassie.
Why?
Your
just
hero?
Just getting a sentence down. And
her lawyer should be the hero of the week, that's for
I
sure.
I think she will be back here next year, and I'm tipping could be in Maxim's Hot 100.
Now, I'll tell you.
We can't get everyone in. That's your zero of the week.
She is my zero of the week if she gets in Maxim 100 because I'm not
well,
there.
Well, I know Maxim 100 is your zero of the week.
Oh, totally, yes. I totally forgot about them. They are my zero. Damn you, Maxim Oporto, top 100.
She may never recover. Okay, here's my hero.
Yeah.
This Twitter employee on his last day who deactivated Donald Trump's account. How good is
That's
that?
That's genius.
That's a good bit of
I like that.
Mischief.
I like that.
It on was your last day, if you're going to have a last day.
I think he was down for a full 11 minutes, which is a long time in Donald because he's always pumping out a tweet. That would have really pissed
He'll
him off.
He'll be ropeable.
I love that.
He'll be ropeable. Well, that's a good last day. Remember the guy from Beat Magazine?
Yes.
He was the guy I loved who was leaving and on his last day reprinted the whole cover. Mm. So when it came out, it had him on the cartoon.
On the cover.
Going, sayonara, idiots.
That's awesome.
You're going to be doing that one day.
Could be today.
Could be my last day.
Thank you, everyone.
Well Thank you, Dave. Thanks, everybody who's been helping us make the show this week.
Including Jill, who's leaving us today. Thank
See
you,
Jill.
Good on you.
Hey, sorry, Jill's leaving us. Yeah. She's been here 2 weeks.
This could be the start of the floodgates, I reckon.
That's not going
this
well.
This could be the start. Dave will be out next week.
Yeah. Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Jake. And
he's already on a go slow.
Me.
What have you got planned for the weekend, Dave?
Not a great deal. Cleaning out the bird cage I'll be doing. That's not at the races
Is that a
either.
Euphemism for
That's
something?
That's my aviary at home. Putting the feet up, you know, watching the races, having a bit of fun with
how
the fam.
How many birds have you got?
Well, here's the problem I've got right
now. They breed.
Now. They won't stop rooting. So I've got like 8 budgies from the mother and father.
Are they swinging? I hear they're popular
at
Point Cook.
And now she's laid 3 more. I don't know what to do with them now. Do I just let them out?
Just
or do I give
set
them someone?
Free. Set them free.
I don't know whether they'll survive or not.
You better bloody turn up tomorrow.
Are you going into their cage to clean it?
Yeah, down the... Yeah.
But like in a Hazchem suit, like you're on a one
Cruise
of those
ship?
Cruises? That was incredible, that story.
You better turn up tomorrow. Oh, I will be so pissed off. I mean, annoyed.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? No, please. Don't be silly. Don't be silly and turn
have
up.
Have I ever let you down?
Oh, it's been a good day.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.